Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Anger, today with my fabulous co-host.
Hey, guys. This is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro.
So today we're going to be going over the common, I guess our top, well, we probably have a lot more. I was going to say top 10, but our top 10 would be consolidated biggest mistakes that we've made living the prep life. So we definitely both have a long list of things that we have messed up along the way. And that's kind of why we started this podcast, to just kind of talk about like things that we have done incorrectly and try to pass it forward onto other people on how to do it the right way if you're starting out, or, you know, so that you don't make the same mistakes we did. But yeah. So Chris, can you give us a little update on how your last, it's been a hot second since we've gotten on the podcast. Any life updates for our listeners?
I would just say it's a continuation of traveling and getting more competitors up on stage this year. So it's been really exciting. And we're like in the middle of it. There's much more coming this fall. But as for me, I'm just continuing my training and continuing to learn and work with some pretty amazing athletes. So nothing huge on my end, but a lot of, I would say, travel.
Yeah. Yeah. Me as well. I just got back from Hawaii not too long ago. Now it's been a week, so I'm definitely missing it. But it was really good to do a nice trip with, you know, I've got some time until my next show. So it was about time that I poured into my family a little bit. And so that was nice. Before the kids went back to school, we got to hang out as a family. And then as far as, you know, living the prep life, we had our kitchen on vacation. We had a really nice gym. So actually the kids and I and my husband, we all worked out together every once, probably like every other day. And then I was in there like almost every day. And we just did, you know, hikes, surfing, really active things. So my steps were pretty high. But I was a little bit more flexible with food. And, you know, we had like two meals out where, you know, I stayed on point probably like 80-20-ish. But it was nice to be able to not be so, you know, restrictive. And I was able to have a girls' night out this past weekend.
Great.
Which I hadn't done that in a while. So I think, you know, with different seasons, it's important that we, you know, pour into those relationships that maybe have, not to say that like I neglected them, but just, you know, have a little bit more focused attention. I think it's important to kind of fill up your soul a little bit after a show when you, you know, put it all out there. So,
yeah. And I think that's a really good explanation, because we're people and there's more facets to who we are as humans other than an athlete. And yes, those are prioritized, like you said, in certain times, but there are other relationships and other goals that need attention as well.
Yeah. And it was just, I was gone pretty much every weekend in July, and it was nice to just be able to kind of catch up on work things. And not to say that I, you know, even on vacation, here's the thing about online coaching is I still do check-ins and I still get back to people within 24 hours, as long as it's a business day. But, you know, it made it convenient, like with the time change in Hawaii, I was able to get things done early with work and still kind of have that balance, so that I had, you know, technology free time with my family as well. But I think that's one thing that I don't know if people realize, you know, with online coaching, yes, like you can travel and do your job, but you also have to make sure that you're still maintaining feedback to your athletes and plan adjustments and all of that. So I still prioritize that as well. But yeah, it's been nice to do that. And, this past July was just so much fun being able to, you know, go to these different shows with athletes. And we're going to continue to keep doing that. I'll be at North Americans with a client. So if any of you are going to be in the Pittsburgh area, be sure to introduce yourself and say hello. That's our next one coming up here. And then we've got our team show in Little Rock, Arkansas in September. So yeah, it's the fun continues, right?
Yes, that's a way to say it. Yep.
Yeah. So that's kind of like the last, you know, 7 days, but we wanted to go over these mistakes that we've made. So when I was reflecting on this, probably one of the biggest mistakes that I learned and I've been able to kind of pass on to my clients as like a, because I wish that I would have had this happen to me, is just guiding clients to a national stage and that higher tier when they're ready for it. I mean, for me, I had gotten nationally qualified every single show for 5 years, and I didn't even consider doing nationals or like know what show to pick or where to go or what to do or why, you know, why that was important. I just thought, oh, you know, I got a trophy at the show. All right, let's do another one.
Yeah.
So that was definitely a mistake that I made. I think that just having a, somebody to guide me to what I should have done after a regional show. And I mean, that's not to say that just because you get nationally qualified, you should go to nationals. But I mean, after 5 years of doing it like several times each year, it was like I needed that direction. So
yeah,
I would say that that's one thing that I would probably, a mistake that I made. Do you want to go next?
Sure. So another thing that we kind of labeled as a mistake is thinking that there are special or specific foods that are best for getting stage ready. So I think it's important for people to realize that there is no magic foods, but there are certain foods that different bodies will digest well. So utilizing your macros as an educational platform, I think is really important. I know I started off with utilizing meal plans, and that's been super helpful for times where I'm really busy and I don't have time to like plan out a menu for the day or the week. But I've found a lot of value in learning to educate myself on how to space out my protein and where to put my carbs and fats around my workout. So I think being super reliant on a meal plan and not knowing about your foods and macros and what your body can utilize well is one of the mistakes that was probably made in the beginning that has improved since then.
Yeah. And just to give you an example, I remember I had a meal plan that literally said 2 tablespoons of rice. And I'm like,
oh,
why? I mean, just weird stuff. And I would follow everything to a T, you know, because mm-hmm. I wanted to execute and I had never done this before. And so
right.
I, you know, it was so long ago back in the day where you weren't supposed to ask questions. Like that was actually
yeah.
part of a contract that I signed that I wouldn't like question.
Oh, wow.
The plan essentially. Huh. And so I just feel like it's an opportunity that, you know, you can educate yourself on different foods and that way you can be a vegan, you can be a vegetarian,
yeah.
you can have a gluten intolerance and you can still work within the confines of, I mean, for us, we like that hybrid because mm-hmm. like you said, nutrient timing is super critical. You want
yeah.
that protein bolus before and after workout,
mm-hmm.
Carbs, you know, for energy recovery. Those are all really important. So I think just kind of utilizing the optimal foods, that's why we suggest, you know, things with lots of fiber and micronutrients, but they're at the end of the day, they're suggestions. And we always want to encourage our clients to, you know, self-advocate and, you know, make the swaps that they need to make so that
mm-hmm.
A, it's sustainable. They're going to stick
yes.
with it. Because what I found is when I got so restricted to certain things, like, first of all, I have an aversion to white fish and asparagus because of it. Because that's all that was on my plan, like, forever. And, I mean, you can get the same amount of calories, the same different macros, like by utilizing different foods that you enjoy. And why not enjoy the process? It's not going to be sustainable
yeah.
if it's something that you're gagging down. How long
yeah.
are you going to be able to do that? And the stage isn't everything. So I'll stop
right.
my tangent, but
no, that was well said. Okay, I
and
think it's
so
important.
it kind of segues into three, where I started to get gut issues because I wasn't putting variety into my diet. So when you follow a specific meal plan, you're eating the same foods over and over again, and your body almost gets an intolerance to those. And then your microbiome, so your gut bacteria, they feed off of like the fruits, the vegetables, the variety that you have in your diet. And if you're not populating, with different food varieties and things, you don't have a very diverse gut microbiome. And so I had a lot of issues with gut and, some of the fake foods that I would try to, they're like coined as 0 calories, which they really aren't. It's just the label says, like a teaspoon of Walden Farms is 0 calories. But, I would put all these things with like Splenda and artificial sweeteners, and it wreaked havoc on my gut. And so it took a long time to fix that. And I feel like, that's one of the things that can be like a pitfall that a lot of us can fall into, just because we are creatures of habit. Like we want to kind of be a robot towards, we're not like really connected with our body at a certain point in prep. And I think it's sometimes easy to keep eating the same foods, but it's not necessarily beneficial.
Yes, I would definitely agree. I think I fell into that same mistake of eating, like if I really loved one carb source and I felt like towards the end of my prep, things were getting a little bit tighter in my food variety, I would eat the same thing over and over because that's what I enjoyed the most. But I agree, I encountered digestive issues as well. And I definitely think that was in part also because going from my show into my reverse, I wanted to be so absolutely on point with my reverse macros that in order for me to satisfy the sweet cravings and the desire for things that I hadn't had before, I really gravitated towards a lot of diet foods, specifically diet ice creams. Because I wanted to be able to have it more frequently and make it fit, and so lower calorie, but like higher sweetener chemical content foods could like fit in there. So I experienced like a lot of gut disrupt, a lot of bloating. I was very uncomfortable, and I think it was a lot in part of my digestive system was already a little bit upset from eating the same foods in my dieting phase, and then moving into a lot of like artificial diet foods in my reverse so soon. So, yeah, I definitely think that's one thing that I try and educate my clients on in all of their phases, just to be very sparing with the diet foods. They're not the best choices for your body, and to stick with whole foods as much as possible. But again, giving yourself variety.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so riding the cardio train, doing crazy amounts of cardio. One mistake that I made was not only doing crazy amounts, like especially when I first started out, I don't know how I even had any muscle on my frame at all with how much cardio I was doing. Literally, like AM, PM, it was upwards of like hours of cardio. And the crazy thing was is that at the time it was pretty common to do kind of maintain cardio through an improvement season. And that's one of these things that we learn throughout, time, that this is breaking down muscle tissue. Cardio, for the most part, like you're not going to be building muscle. You're not allowing yourself to do that. And so cardio has to be, lowered, so those adaptations, we get rid of them. Just like in a reverse, we're building up calories, we're decreasing that cardio, so we can, preserve some of that. Because your body's gonna, if it's not getting much glucose, in a dieting phase, that's readily available in a muscle tissue. So your body's gonna tear that down. It's not gonna wanna keep muscle, a metabolic tissue, around that requires more calories. It's going to survive, and it's going to try to break that down so that it doesn't have to expend so many calories to keep it there.
Right. And that's one thing that I notice too when I have an athlete that in their improvement season or in their reverse, they overeat. They immediately want to know if they can do more cardio to compensate for the extra calories that they've consumed. And I have to remind them, like, our goal in this improvement season is to add on muscle tissue and, work on the recomping of your physique and cardio in that phase with the caloric intake and our goals in mind is not undoing the extra calories that you have eaten. It's more or less like actually disrupting the goal of adding muscle tissue that we're looking to achieve. So, time and place for the cardio.
Yeah, and this isn't in my scope of practice, but we've had Rebecca McConville come on and say that that's actually a form of purging, and it's an eating disordered behavior. It's not physically throwing up, but when you try to, like if you binge eat and then try to do a huge bout of exercise, that's kind of the same thing. And that's definitely something that we don't condone in terms of, a punishment or something like that. It's definitely not the route to go. It actually will perpetuate the cycle because it'll make you more hungry again, in my opinion, just based on my own personal, because I have done this before. So, anyways, okay. The next one would be buying a one size fits all suit. So, this can kind of go under the umbrella of just not going the custom route, spending, investing in a custom made suit that's for your body. There's a time and a place for, like, for example, we have our rental business, the GGB suit rental. So we have multiple suits, like so many, and in all shapes and sizes and all colors and cuts. So I'm not saying like that still is custom. If you want like an entry way into the sport, I think that's a good way to go. If you don't know if you're gonna like the sport, you don't want to invest like $500+ in a custom made suit because maybe you're not gonna do this again. Maybe it's a bucket list thing. So there's a time and a place for that. But I remember this was back in the day where crystallizing wasn't even a thing or anything like that. And it was just, there was just one size fits all. And it was so cheap. It ended up popping off. I think I've told this story before. It was the only time I wore red. The connector broke and I had to keep getting it fishing wired sewed by this girl that, like, helped me out. But it's so much stress, to worry about something like that. So, I mean, when it comes down to it, just making sure that you're getting guidance too. That's another thing that we do as coaches is we guide our athletes. So not only they're having the right color for their skin tone, their hair color, and the lights that are going to be on stage, but we also make sure that like the crystals are right, the connectors are correct, the cut, all of that stuff, so that they're looking their best. So just, I guess, importance of suit selection maybe is a better way to go on that one because I don't think it's super relevant anymore that you would ever buy a one size fits all, but any thoughts there?
I think just definitely being open to wearing a different suit. I remember going to North Americans and the previous national show I was at, I loved this blue suit, but it was like sliding off of my hips. And so I think having just being aware that like your body is changing and you may need alterations, like constantly be trying on your suit in your prep every week, taking your pictures in them. So you notice like if you're starting to get loose bottoms or the top's not fitting right, you're able to get another suit in time or get alterations because there's nothing worse than working so hard on your physique and your suit just is not complementing your body.
Yeah, I think it would have fallen off. I brought a
Yes.
suit. I was seeing this happening and I'm like, she's dropping so quick. I'm bringing her a smaller suit. And You won your pro card in that
you saved
suit
me.
That I brought, but you did not know you were wearing that until the day before the show.
Exactly.
So, that's a good point. Be open to change.
Yes.
And always bring a backup suit, because it could be that, and we've done this with several of our athletes, they'll even have unfortunately bought like a custom made suit and it just doesn't look right with their tan.
Yep.
This happens so many times. And then we luckily bring like rentals, or we have our, you know, so we have backups for our athletes with the shows that we're at, and we'll put them in something that looks awesome. I mean, I can tell you one person that I know that she got first place in her class, and we switched her suit the night before because the color wasn't right. So
there you go.
Okay. So number six is doing my own makeup. That's for me. I mean, I think that there's also a time and place for people to do their own makeup. I think it depends on your skill set. Know your own ability in terms of that. And same with hair. A lot of competitors do their own hair. Totally fine. Just make sure that you know what you're doing, because stage makeup is so nuanced. It's so specific, and there's so many talented artists out there. Yes, it is expensive, but it is worth the investment, so that you're showing up on stage. It's hard to match the tan. It's hard to get your facial expressions to show up under the lights. Mm-hmm. It looks very dramatic. It's very specific. And even just a talented makeup artist, like somebody that does weddings and things like that, they're not necessarily qualified to do a show makeup. So just make sure you take the time to do your research. Look at their portfolio. Most of the good ones are on Instagram. I mean, Elaine Goodlad is a great example. Mm-hmm. I know Carolyn Post is great. Labou, there's a whole bunch of different ones that are very talented. But just make sure that that's their specialty. It kind of would be like you're just saying, okay, like this personal trainer that has no experience with shows, like let's hire him or her to do a prep for me for a contest.
Right.
You know? So.
Right. Yeah.
All right. You want to take the next one?
Sure. Absolutely. So moving on from that, another mistake that has been made is black and white thinking. You know, you're in prep and then you're all of a sudden out of prep and the lifestyles are completely different. There is a huge value to your improvement season and carrying on some of those same patterns of behavior, like, you know, being intentional about your food, intentional about your workouts. I know I've done improvement seasons where in the beginning, my mentality was, okay, I'm going to have 12 weeks. I'm going to diet down. I'm going to totally transform my body, look amazing. And then once the show's over, I'm going to go back to life. And it wasn't until I had switched my mentality and knowing that, like, this is a sport that requires continual adherence, that I was able to make bigger strides. So that's one thing, like, in the past, I would have definitely changed about how I had approached utilizing a coach past my show and through my improvement season. And I also think there's something about you in your improvement season not being so anxiety like driven and hyper focused on making sure that all of your, you know, like we talked about food variety, like you're still eating the same foods and you have huge anxiety if you can't get to the gym at a certain time. There is like that gray area and finding balance in that of like, okay, this is a different season that requires different you know, variations to my behaviors, but there's still that continual adherence to quote unquote the prep life.
Yeah. And this also, I think, segues into pretty much our number eight. And that would be, so when I first started out, I was never told there was a value to a reverse diet. It was kind of like, here's your 12 week packet. This is a piece of paper. Like you, I actually never even was required to check in during the prep.
Wow.
Which is why I weighed 115 pounds and looked like a Skeletor. But aside from that, there definitely, I had no clue what to do after the show And, you know, that's why I couldn't see my ankles, and I gained 15 pounds the day after.
Wow.
I mean, it was devastating. And so I think, you know, obviously that's an extreme example, and that was like 10 years ago. I think things have gotten a lot better. There's a lot more information out there. Mm-hmm. And people are doing things a lot differently than that. So luckily there's that. But I think still, when I'm on calls, I always worry when people kind of ask like, oh, do you have like a 12-week program so that I can start my cut and then mm-hmm. kind of be done? And I'm like, you know, I just want to let you know that, you know, sometimes the hardest part is after the show, and it's super important to check in with your coach for accountability, and also so that your reverse is getting monitored properly, so that you're, you know, adequately adding in calories at the appropriate amount as to how your body is adapting to those changes. And, you know, all of these different things, it's like as much time as you spent leaning out, you really need to spend that much time, you know, healing in most cases. So it depends on the person. But I mean, to me, I think that, you know, along with that comes having a next step before you're mm-hmm. even done as well.
Yeah.
So a goal.
Yeah.
I mean, I was lost because I had no direction. And I think that it really helps with adherence if you kind of have a path in mind before the show's even over. Like, okay, if, you know, this happens, then we'll kind of look at this. Like, if you, you know, get your pro card, then we'll think about your pro debut. Or, you know, if you are at nationals, you don't make it, then we'll kind of think like what national show would be appropriate next. Or if you do well at a regional show, like where are you going for nationals? Things like that. I feel like that was something that was missing early on, and it's made a big difference to me. Are you there?
Oh yeah, there you are. Sorry, I cut out for like 2 seconds. I would definitely agree. I think your check-in is I feel like you're only hurting yourself if you're not doing that check-in with your coach. I know with Glam Girl, like our coaches, we're here to help. And, you know, if you're struggling, we definitely want to know. And like I could say, hands down, we have been there as well too. So it's a matter of working through and giving you the tools to get through, like any type of hurdles that you may be experiencing. And I think even when you're approaching your improvement season, we're talking about goal setting. That's why it's great to get judge feedback, so that like when I put a girl into her improvement season and it's long, so it's several months until we're thinking about getting her back on stage, there's still goals. Like, this is what we're doing with your training. This is where we're going with your nutrition. This is, you know, like the things that we're going for, rather than just throwing a plan, but really educating on what the focus is so we can be efficient with that time frame.
Yeah, absolutely. So some other things, and I kind of talked about this like in the intro part, is just, you know, in the past I would shut out family and friends just to step on stage, and that was really a mistake. I mean, it just is one of those things that if this is going to be any sort of longevity in the sport, you really need to make sure that you're not just focusing on the physical, but that you're also focusing on making sure that you're maintaining relationships with people, whether it be like, hey, let's do a coffee date rather than like go out to eat or something like that, but or doing like an active activity, like let's go on a walk together. Or, you know, let's do a date night that's, you know, bullying or something along those lines, but still spending quality time with people that you care about.
I think that's a great suggestion. Like still making those plans and activities and still like taking part in social events, but like planning ahead to accommodate for what your goals are as well. And like we say, like not everything is revolved around food, and really making sure you're getting that quality time with people.
Yeah. And then do you want to take the last one?
Sure. The last one is taking no days off, and doing the like a muscle confusion type of training where you are just constantly doing different exercises. There's really no structured or goal in mind. You're just doing a bunch of a lot of different things, hitting your body each and every day. But there's, you know, a different method that we've utilized, the progressive overload, where we have a specific set of exercises that are, you know, chosen for the individual physique. And then there's typically 12 weeks where we look at overloading that muscle with the similar exercises. It just seems like having more clear direction with the programming in the exercise, we're seeing better changes within the physique. And it also allows that the ability for you to see progression within yourself. So if you're finding, well, I'm getting much better, you know, mid-delt connection with my lateral raises, and I was able to go up 5 pounds. That reward factor as well too, with programming set up that way.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that kind of gets us to number 10. So I know that you had a few other items. I know that there's so many things we could list, like, prioritizing sleep, prioritizing recovery. The list goes on and on. We've made every mistake under the book you could think of, probably.
Yeah.
But just to, you know, that's a start with those 10. And
yes.
Hopefully that brings you value. And we don't run ads. I think they're kind of obnoxious. And I don't, you know, I like that this is an unfunded podcast, and the fact that we are just trying to give you all knowledge. So if you enjoyed this podcast, if you're a new listener, or if you're a loyal listener, the only thing we ask back is that you share it with somebody else so that you can pass on, if you found value in it. So whether it be sharing it on Instagram, we are at Prep Life Podcast, or at Glam Girl Bikini. We'd love it if you tagged us in your story, shared it with friends, or, if you feel so kind to do so. I know it takes a little bit of effort, but leaving a review and a rating just really helps other people find it as well that are interested in the sport. So we are coming close to the Olympia.
Yay!
The Olympia runs October 7th through the 10th, and it is in Orlando, Florida. And maybe one of these days we'll kind of talk about your trip that you earned. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, so we're definitely going to be there, and we'd love it if you would join us. We're going to, I'm going to put the link to getting tickets to Olympia in the show notes. And then I'm also going to put our link for our application at glamgirlbikini.com. You can apply for the team, and you'll just hit the get started button there, or you can click directly on the link to apply for the team. So this is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger, signing off with my fabulous co-host.
And this is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro. Thanks for listening, guys.